Coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona, this is Monica, and welcome to the Home Health Occupational Therapy Explorer podcast as a creation from Till and Water. Are you a home health OT feeling a bit uninspired or overwhelmed or unresourced, but ready for change? Then stay tuned because we are dedicated to bringing you inspiration for possibility and nourishment of your home health OT mindset. So let's reinvent together starting here today and dig into this episode recorded in 2019. This archived yet priceless episode is part of a wrap-up from season 2, so please pardon and enjoy any dated references to the world pre-COVID. Welcome back and let's dig in. Hey and welcome back. This is a really exciting episode because we are talking about a hot topic. A lot of people have asked that we talk about interventions that can be done in home health. So whether you call it interventions, treatments, we're actually going to talk about both, and we're going to break it down with Karen Vance. This is a two-part episode. So in this first part, you're going to walk away understanding actually a little bit about interventions versus treatments, and a way to break that down that may blow open some new areas in your practice. And also a shout out to the OT Journal Club, which was in part a collaboration with this episode and this topic. So some of the examples that are used in this, at least more so in the second part of this series, were inspired by an evaluation that is posted in the OT Journal Club that's available on otpotential.com, where they're reviewing evidence-based journals in a very digestible way, and you have a forum and a community to kind of process that information with. So I hope you enjoy, and thanks so much for being here. Let's dig in. This is a really exciting episode because we are talking about a hot topic. A lot of people have asked that we talk about interventions that can be done in home health. So whether you call it interventions, treatments, we're actually going to talk about both, and we're going to break it down with Karen Vance. This is a two-part episode. So in this first part, you're going to walk away understanding actually a little bit about interventions versus treatments, and a way to break that down that may blow open some new areas in your practice. And also a shout out to the OT Journal Club, which was in part a collaboration with this episode and this topic. So some of the examples that are used in this, at least more so in the second part of this series, were inspired by an evaluation that is posted in the OT Journal Club that's available on otpotential.com, where they're reviewing evidence-based journals in a very digestible way, and you have a forum and a community to kind of process that information with. So I hope you enjoy, and thanks so much for being here. Let's dig in. Karen Vance, we're super excited to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Let's talk about interventions. And then as you and I were kind of teasing this out in preparation for a podcast, we really kind of rolled into this idea of treatment ideas and that there's this difference between them, but are we acknowledging that difference? And you have a very unique perspective to share insights with the home health OT community. And I know you've already done that, and I even have the book open, The Home Healthcare Guide for Occupational Therapy Practice, that you helped contribute to a couple years ago. And then now as kind of on the side of audits, really. So, and am I summarizing that?
Well, you mean my correctly? Current employment? I am in a position where, as a part of my job, I find myself doing clinical record review for home health agencies who have requested the consulting firm that I work for to go in and do a review of their documentation and provide input and feedback to what they're doing or not. And so yes, that's part of my job, but I also get the opportunity to do some general consulting for clinical and operations for home health agencies. So it's a pretty broad job, but it's interesting and sometimes disheartening to see some of the things that I read.
I'm gonna take a deep breath. Yeah, I can only imagine. And I appreciate that you're bringing the experience that you have to the table here to begin to create a snowball. Hopefully, what is a snowball of conversations about how can we raise the bar, understanding we're all humans. And yes, how can we raise the bar and perhaps expand it for what's possible for home health occupational therapy? So I think a lot is possible. So as we dig in today, and I will also kind of say at this beginning point of this conversation that part of the inspiration of this topic was also that when I wrote a sample home health OT eval for the OT Journal Club that Sarah Lyon has, part of that was that I wanted to follow it up with some conversation about interventions and treatment ideas because I knew that that was something that was coming up more. And so that is also a little bit of a background of like, how do we land on this topic? And really, this is, I'm tempted to say this is the meat and potatoes, but it's probably not actually. How we're evaling and what we're finding in our evals is perhaps what's really our meat and potatoes. Or I guess, how would you answer that? Is what we see more, the visits we do more frequently, and perhaps we'll even speak to that, that not all interventions are visits. But the more frequent amount of our time is spent in the treatment or intervention place rather than the eval. So, would you say that the meat and potatoes, what would you call the meat and potatoes?
That's a good question. I could see where one might refer to, what we're actually doing with patients to try to help them work toward their goals as the meat and potatoes, but quite frankly, that's all informed by the evaluation and the assessment. So, well, this is starting to get corny, but the meat and potatoes can't come without the salad. So, yeah, it's, I've had people reach out to me before and say, "Can you give me some treatment ideas for a patient with dementia? Can you give me treatment ideas for a patient with this or that or the other?" And I always come back and say, "Well, tell me something else about them besides just their diagnosis, or what is it that the patient is wanting to accomplish? What are their goals?" You can't just start with a diagnosis and say, suggested treatment ideas, because it all starts with the assessment, or the evaluation, and you have to begin with the end in mind. Where is it you're trying to get before you decide what the roadmap is to know how to get there?
This is where we dedicate a moment in the podcast to support creating a diverse, equitable, and inclusive world, starting within our own lives. We understand that this is a journey and a commitment, not a one-time act. A super helpful resource and community can be found at COTAD, which stands for Coalition of Occupational Therapy Advocates for Diversity. This is a statement from their website. COTAD believes in action-oriented organizing to hold our profession accountable for creating a more diverse, equitable, and inclusive society. We are calling all members of the OT community to join us in sparking dialogue and igniting change to promote occupational justice. So we hope you check out their info in the show notes and stay strong in your continued work in these areas. As we proceed in this conversation, I also really welcome any stories that we can learn from some of the shocking things you've seen in your consulting episodes? Like, if we can help, if we can learn from the negative, because sometimes, unfortunately, that's like when it when the memory really sticks, you know, to be like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And you know, and
I was just gonna say, you read something, you say, oh, I don't want that to be me.
To take a moment to say thank you to today's sponsor, which is Dan Eisner Consulting. So I actually first had exposure to Dan years ago when he was he wrote an article, and I think it was for the OT practice about coaching. And I just thought, oh man, I would love to get to talk to this human someday. And then last year he was at the AOTA conference in New Orleans. And then I read his book and had the opportunity and the fortune actually to get coached by Dan. And so I just want to take a moment to be able to tell you a little bit about it, because it really was incredibly helpful. Dan has an approach with mindfulness and meditation and also being an occupational therapist that was really, really helpful for me in being able to understand, because for me, those are all three important elements to me in my life. So to really be able to help me get unstuck and just move forward with a sense of compassion, but also a sense of skill. So a big thank you to Dan Eisner Consulting. And if you're in need of a coach or perhaps some new skills, check out www.daneisnerconsulting.com. That's Daneisner consulting.com. I think I'd like to start by just bringing some attention to interventions and kind of circling around to treatments and kind of and just inviting some conversation.
So I'm going to turn the tables on you and ask you to tell me what you see, how are you making the distinction between interventions and treatments?
So initially I wasn't. I mean, I when I first was getting ready to have this podcast, I busted out the book because I'm like, you know what? I just want to get back into that guide. It was so powerful. And so I flipped to, I'm literally on pages 106 and 107, and I started reading about interventions. And initially, I will say that in my mind, interventions were treatments. Like, I was like, oh, okay, the things that I do after eval, the visits that I have after eval, unless it's a reassessment, are the interventions and the treatments. And I was kind of like, same thing, interventions, treatments, whatever. And then as I was reading in the book, what I was reminded of is that interventions can include like treatment sessions, maybe is how I would describe this in this moment. But the interventions are not limited to treatment sessions. So like face-to-face intervention, I guess, is what that's called in the book. So like that's one type of intervention, is like a face-to-face treatment session, is what I'd call it for this conversation. But then as I kept reading, the things I forgot about that are mentioned in the book are that telephone calls can be a form of intervention that help move the plan of care forward. Telemediated visits could also be a type of intervention, and homework can also be a type of intervention. And so, yeah, that was like, my mind was kind of reblown open about a layer beyond treatments that, I guess, as I'm kind of saying this out loud now, it's like the umbrella is interventions and face-to-face treatment sessions are just under the umbrella, but so are the phone calls. So is the homework. So maybe are the you know, if people are doing video things. So I think that's what I would.
Okay. Well, I was curious. and I think for the listener, I think it was a good thing to elucidate, you know, what the differences are.
Yeah.
because we are also in a position as we are marching forward to January 1 and PDGM. I know every OT that is listening to this has started hearing from their organization about the kinds of things that we might see being done a little bit differently in our organizations. And one of those things is being creative with interventions and identifying how we can get the most amount out of our patients and helping them with achieving the outcomes that are most important to them. And it's when you've been in the business, and I say business because this is exactly what it is, for as long as I have, you've seen a tremendous amount of change in exactly what those interventions included or focused on. And at one point, it was all about making a visit, and the only time there was any perceived true action in terms of progress with a patient happened to be when we were in their presence and laying on the hands and creating the magic that we are, right? And then along comes a different payment methodology, and we start thinking, well, maybe it's not just all about the visit, and maybe the patient has a role in this as well. And it's not all about us, but maybe it's a little bit about them too. And then starting to get creative about how to engage the patient during and in between visits, and then how we can facilitate and support and motivate the patient to actually activate in between visits so that they can get more out of the interventions or the plan of care that we have devised with them.
Or I guess I can speak to the value of phone calls, which I know will not count as well. I was told that these will not count as like a skilled visit, but they will be documented and can help the plan of care move forward. But I have experience the power of those phone calls, and they really are typically less than 10 minutes and can be really powerful in just a showing care. I do think that oftentimes this health care system is sometimes void of care because there's not a click box for care. So I will step off.
Well,
that podium
can I
now,
climb
but,
on though? Because here's the thing. So first of all, we have to understand for the last 20 years under prospective payment, whether or not something counts as a skilled visit is one thing. Whether or not we can get a patient or help them achieve outcomes in the least cost, in the most cost-efficient way is fantastic, because you know the agency gets a single dollar amount for a patient, and then every visit, everything we do that the agency logs in as, you know, a visit or whatever is essentially just saying, all right, we're going to take these costs and we're going to pull them out of the bucket of money that we just got for this patient. So if indeed you can use a simple phone call to coach and cheerlead and cajole and, you know, try to cultivate something in the way of an ongoing relationship with the patient, it's a very cheap way to do that. And it's costing less for the agency, because we're not pulling as much money out of that bucket. And I'm wanting to make this point, because as we go forward in PDGM, I can guarantee you that any clinician in a home health agency that is willing to work hard at a reduced cost in order to get a patient to where they need to be, the agency is going to be paying close attention to that.
Yeah, like it's, I feel like we are really called to this time and place of maturing to a new level with the opportunities slash potential challenges that we have in front of us. And, you know, a shout out to the Arizona crew and community, which is just a very passionate, kind, welcoming community that I was able to experience this last weekend at their state conference. And they just did such a great job of calling attention to the change ahead, and Christina Metzler actually calling attention to the change ahead, and then encouragement to let's all just be aware and notice that there is now an elephant in the room, or at least walking towards us, and we'll soon be in the room. Mm-hmm. And to learn how to ride the waves. I mean, the biggest symbolism was the ocean and waves, and to just kind of brace ourselves, but also see these things as opportunities. Mm-hmm. And that they will be very different. That being said, I did want to circle back around and give an example of how I've used the phone call, because I think, especially for people new to home health, the fact that we're calling and talking to our patients is brand new to any other setting, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm pretty sure you're not talking to them on the phone anywhere else. So in this particular case, it was in regards to a Hoyer sling. It was a patient, her and her husband were planning to move home. She did not feel comfortable with him supporting her in the transfers that we had initially recommended for her standing. And so the progression that they were most comfortable with and kind of our next in line recommendation was, well, this will require a Hoyer. And therefore we would recommend being trained in this before you guys switch, move towns and out of your daughter's and family's kind of location. And so part of the phone calls were, I mean, on the surface, it was to say, do you have the sling? Have you gotten the sling? Has it arrived? Because that's a big part of the session, the next session. And then that would also allow me to open up discharge planning questions. And it allowed me to begin building a relationship where I noticed just today, this was a family that was very circular, that there were challenges in really helping them just move forward. That it seemed like we would be told one thing and it was just difficult to get follow through to really move forward. So I do think these conversations were actually building rapport, so that today when I was out there working with her and her husband, signed an omnic there, we got a discharge date. They know when they're going back. And it really just, I think, helped with an element of trust, so that there were people that I was checking in on, with the phone call. And so I guess there's not as much homework in that one, but part of what I did need to help her do was problem solve how to get the equipment, because it did require fax, and she was not able to kind of problem solve the next step of, now this sounds like, because it's been a week and they're telling you this, I would now kind of escalate it to this next step if you're wanting to go through insurance. So small detail, but taking the time to do that with her has led to, when I left today, both her and her husband said, you've been one of the best that's come out. And the reason they said that is they said, you've done a great job of really helping us learn the details of things and not just being so quick in and out. And you've been really effective and thorough. And so I think that just the using of the phone call, I mean, obviously that's not everything, but that it can be this gateway that, though quick, can also really help us build rapport.
This is a parting quote by Lorraine Nyland. Serenity is not the conclusion of a soul journey. It is the acceptance of being on a soul journey.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Home Health Occupational Therapy Explore podcast. If you want to stay updated or get more deeply involved with our why, which is inspiring possibility and nourishment for the home health OT mindset, go to tillandwater.com and sign up for our emails. Sounds silly, but this one step could help inspire a paradigm shift for your practice. And if this message can help someone you know, please share it with them. And until next time, keep stirring your inspiration.